Beethoven and Misfortune Cookies by playwright Joni Ravenna is a one-man show about Caban Thomas, a University of Arkansas music professor who was fired in 2006 for using profanity in the classroom. The play is in Wharton Center's Paysant Theater tomorrow night, just for one single performance. WKAR's Melissa Benmark spoke with the actor-director team responsible for the production. You'll recognize the actor from The Jeffersons and White Men Can't Jump, and the director from the legendary TV series Taxi.
T.J. Castronovo, I'm the director.
Hi, I'm Ernest Hardin Jr., and I am the star of this one-man show. And, I was one man, so I guess that's me.
So both of you have done considerable film and TV work. People will recognize your names. What prompted the two of you to do this stage play?
Well, we belong to the Actors Studio. He's with the Actors Studio as an actor, and I'm as a director. And this play was given to me by a lady in Palm Springs who wrote it, Joni Ravenna, and who I directed a short play of hers off-Broadway when I was about 10 years ago. And she sent me this play, and I liked it very much, and I thought, well, who's the actor that I would like for this part? And, of course, out of all the actors that I know in the Actors Studio, he was my first choice. And it's been wonderful. He's absolutely great, and you must see this show.
What did he have to do to talk you into being in the show as the star?
Well, actually, I admired him. I know that, as a matter of fact, I remember watching the news in L.A., and he was producing some show with a group of actors that they were giving it high praise and talking about. And so that's when I really became aware of him. But as I would see him in the studio, and we'd talk, and we'd talk about, maybe eventually doing something together. And then he came to me with the script. And I looked at it and said, okay. He said, learn some of it, and we'll try to do it. And to make a long story short, I fell in love with it. I really just started to want to try to really kind of write. I did some writing on it and tried to make it my own. It was so weird when we first tested it to potential investors. Also, Caban Thomas, who the script is about, came, and that was the first time he ever saw me. We did just a little small section of it, and he saw me do that, and he had tears in his eyes. He had to leave the place, and he said, "I couldn't watch it. You're a better actor, a better teacher in this play than I am," which it was a high compliment, but I mean, I know that wasn't really true, but for him to even say that, I thought that was fantastic. And next thing you know, he couldn't come back and watch it anymore. He said it was just too close. And that's amazing. And that's something that he has not been back to see any one of our shows. He just, on Facebook, blasted, "Go see this show, everybody. This is fantastic." But I'm waiting for the time for him to come to see it himself. And he just, he says it's just too close right now.
Well, and that's got to be a really unique experience, meeting somebody who you're doing a play about their life, and it is something that, essentially has changed them, and that it's still, it only happened in 2006 that he was reassigned, quote-unquote, from his professorship at the University of Arkansas. And so do you feel as if that will represent some milestone for him?
I just know that it happened to him. Mm-hmm. And which was a surprise to me, because I thought he would be all in to see someone portraying him on stage. And so actually, we said because of that, because I didn't have a lot of interaction with him, a lot of it, this character, is really like part of me. I inhaled this entire project. I mean, once he gave it to me, and I started working on it. I started to take it to the studio, and he says, "Yeah, let's do this." And we would work at the studio. And what's so good about the Actors Studio is anybody could be there. Every week they have something called sessions. where they do these scenes in front of everybody, and anybody could be there, you, from Oscar winners, Tony winners, you name it. Even the moderator, Martin Landau, won an Oscar. And Mark Rydell, who directed On Golden Pond, he's the other moderator. So it's like, phew, you know, it's a wealth of knowledge there, and they're cutting you up, too.
That's right.
You go in there, you're like, you're there, and you're getting ready to do the scene, and you do your scene, and then they sit you down, and there they go. But they say, don't worry, we're all friends here. Yeah, but it's not easy sometimes. But they're true in how they really critique you. And it was really helpful when we developed this thing and got this thing to where it is now. They were very helpful. And like I said, I took this role to heart. It just, for some reason, I just fell in love with that whole story and situation. And it's finally turned out to be something we think is great.
Now, is this production, is this part of a larger tour that you're on? Or
we're going to Detroit. He's going to be doing it in Detroit next week. We've done it in Newport Beach. We've done it in Hollywood. We had a run in Hollywood with it. And we plan on hoping to go to a lot of colleges.
It's a new, fresh play. It's like you're seeing something before it gets to Broadway. And that's our goal, Broadway.
Yeah.
It's not as far as you think. And then we've been getting calls from colleges. And as we were, like, even coming back here, other theaters in L.A. now want us. It's a lot of potential, a lot of stuff, and the fact that it is a college play. All the colleges can relate to this. And you guys were, we're really glad to be here because we just feel this is a natural fit for university and for you guys to see this.
Well, it's actually a little bit eerie because we did have a situation here within about the last month of a professor being reassigned due to some things he said in the classroom. Mm-hmm. So potentially some or all of your audience, when you're at the Payson, is going to be bringing that into the room.
Right.
In terms of what you bring to the performance and what you bring to the directing, this is for either or both of you to answer. Did you have to have any debate in your own minds? What kind of speech, if any, is too much for the classroom? Did you have to have in your mind an idea of what you would consider too much?
To be honest, I don't feel profanity is what was the thing that was supposedly the thing that got him kicked out. You know, the faculty was saying, well, maybe that's too much, and they were kind of looking for a way to get rid of him. That and he showed a graphic picture of one of the people he was talking about and teaching about in his classroom, and that kind of was the straw that broke the camel's back.
Right. And that's hard for me to imagine, though, just because those are
historic pictures.
Well, the student complained
If you think about it, they were looking for a way to get him out anyway, even though he was so popular with his students. Mm-hmm. And but, you know, he would – for example, this is the first line, and I'll just give it to you, but I'll give you the
– you can give more than the first line if you want to.
But this is the PG version? But he says – he starts off in his class. He says, good afternoon, class. My name is Caven Thomas, and I'll be your music appreciation professor this semester. But before we begin, for all of those of you who are offended by profanity, I urge you to get the heck out of my class right now. You can imagine what he really said.
You could have said the real thing. She can edit it. He said, get the f*** out of my class.
Oh,
and that's what, you know.
And that's how he starts it off, though. And people were laughing and everything, but the students loved him. And he was just real and raw. But yet he would turn around and say, well, I was gently disposed of like some rotting piece of garbage that had been overlooked for so long and was now so putrid it was considered toxic. I mean, he mixed street with smart, and it worked, and the students loved it, you know. I just really feel this play, everybody really relate to it, and we tested it in Newport Beach. That was the first time we ever got it on our feet.
Right.
And like I said, I inhaled this piece and worked on it. So at Newport Beach, it was a theater festival there that people basically do readings. And so everybody was kind of reading their projects, yeah. But I just knew it. I knew it, so I didn't have to. And when I did it, and we finished it, and Newport Beach is basically a white audience, rich. Yeah. They're like, you know, the theater goers, but they're just... It just seems like they were from another world from where this guy would be.
There were a lot of yachts across the street from them.
Right, from a lot of yachts, yep. It was beautiful. That. But they stood up afterwards and gave us a standing ovation for about 10 minutes after the performance. And we were like, oh, okay, no. We love it. And they said in 13 years, they never gotten a standing ovation for any of their projects.
Right.
And so that's when we felt we had something.
I find myself wondering, if you think about your average Hollywood movie, if you think about your average daily commercial radio talk show, if you think about what gets said off mic in the halls of Congress, the level of general public discourse is not all that clean or kind much of the time. So why is it that the classroom is immune from that kind of usage?
That's interesting.
You have a line in the thing that says talks about that when you can...
You can F a student
yeah.
as long as nobody hears, but don't say the word F.
Do either of you know what he's doing now?
Dubai for a while, I know that.
Yeah, he's doing that. He's just going around now and being... he's teaching. He was teaching there, and he's also, like, trying to perform.
He does some acting.
Uh-huh, but he had a show that he wanted to... get out there to kids and teach them music. And he was working on that. He's still, like, viable. He's doing a lot of things, you know. And he's a little mysterious, too. Next thing you know, I see he's in Dubai, and he's there for a while. Next thing, he's in North Carolina. I said, wow, what do you do? Because he'll email me or Facebook me and let me know. So it's hard to pin him down.
It's interesting, though, that life imitates art. You've got a show where you're playing a teacher, and he's a teacher who has a show.
Right.
And
that's interesting. You're right. Hey, go figure. Life is stranger than fiction, isn't it?
It is amazing.
he has a line in the play that says, "The Cabin Thomas Show. Come and see the play. You'll love it."
Well, T.J. Castronovo and Ernest Hardin, Jr., thank you both very much for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. Great. I just want to say it's great to return to Michigan State. I'm an alum.
That's right. Alumnus. We didn't bring that in.
That's right. And they used to nickname me on because I had a radio show called, and my radio name was Ern Nitty from the city. So Ern Nitty is back.
For Current State, I'm Melissa Benmark.
And that's our show for today. Coming up tomorrow on Current State, Current State book contributor Scott Southard will have an essay on Banned Book Week. Also, we speak with Christo Rey Community Center's new executive director, Joe Garcia. All that and more Thursday on Current State. I'm Joe Lindstroth, and you've been listening to Current State here on WKAR.